And so it would make sense. I'm going to let Sandy get in her place. I see you, Sandy. Don't anybody turn around and look at her, though. she's good. She's like the bionic interpreter, man. She can just go. And so I don't have to. I can talk really fast, and I know she's still going to do a good job. And so no pressure at all. She's smiling right now. She, hi, Sandy. Okay. It's the Thanksgiving service, and so therefore it would make sense for us to think for a little bit about the nature of thankfulness and gratitude. And so with that in mind, I want to read to you a very familiar passage of Scripture from Luke chapter 17. This is God's Word, and so let us hear it. On the way to Jerusalem, He, that is Jesus, was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And he entered a village. He was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now, he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Well, there's a lot going on there, and we should not despise, though, the very clear, simple lesson that is to be drawn from this text. In our effort to always look for something deeper, which is good, we must first of all look at the very simple things that God has communicated to us in His Word. And with this, it is clearly, be thankful, right? Give thanks. Be thankful to God for what He's done for you. Now, there are a lot of things happening here, not least of which is the fact that Jesus meets these 10 lepers on a kind of a midway path between Samaria and Galilee. And so, therefore, it's not unusual that the group of people that he meets is made up both of Samaritans and Jews. And as we learn from the text, actually, there was one Samaritan and the 9 others were Jews. Now, there's something significant there that Jesus is wanting us to learn about gratitude. In this case, much like Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan, this story is in a way a rebuke to his own people, the Jews, who in this case did not return thanks to God, but the one who came back to Jesus was a Samaritan. Now, this poor Samaritan, at least from the Jewish perspective, was doubly unclean. Not only was he unclean because he was a Samaritan, but he was unclean because he was a leper as well. Leprosy was incredibly problematic. It was a death sentence, to be sure, but it also left you physically in great pain and disfigured as well. And so they were considered ceremonially unclean. So this poor Samaritan was a Samaritan and he was leprous and therefore could not come within safe distances of other people, did not have access to the temple, did not have access to the religious life of God's people. He was an outsider both ethnically and now also ceremonially because he had leprosy. All of which Jesus changes in an instant with his touch, as it were. And we see that Jesus embraces this man, brings him on the inside. And Jesus asks where the other 9 are. You know, weren't there 10 of you? Where are the other 9? Jesus realizes and wants us to know that a lack of gratitude is indicative of something that's very wrong. It is a sign that there's something very disordered in our hearts. Lack of gratitude is not just one of those things we can look out and say, oh, well, that's just him. He's not thankful. That's old Joe. You know, he's not grateful for things, but we love him and he's terrific. No, you know, it's not like somebody who tends to drive 2 or 3 miles over the speed limit. Oh, that's just the way he is. His foot's a little heavy. No, lack of gratitude means that there is something desperately wrong in the heart. And we learn this. This is affirmed for us in Romans chapter 1. And in Romans chapter 1, Paul is diagnosing the condition of a fallen world where in his sinfulness and his rebellion, man descends in ever descending levels of moral degradation. That in his sin, he keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And as Paul is describing that process in Romans chapter 1, he writes about those who have suppressed the truth of God and have preferred a lie. And listen to how he describes them. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up. Do you see that in that list of vices, in that list of sins and degradation, Paul names among the disordered problems in these people's hearts, he names a lack of gratitude to God. That their lack of knowledge of who God is accompanied by a refusal to give Him thanks. And so, children, when your parents tell you to say thank you for something, kids, when your parents try to teach you how to be thankful, and they remind you, be sure and say thank you, or they do something for you and they say, now, you know, what do you say? It's not just because they are begging for compliments. It's because they want very much to see you grow in Christlikeness. They want very much to guard your heart against exactly the problems that the Apostle Paul writes about here in Romans 1, where a growing lack of thankfulness always accompanies a heart that is moving ever further away from God. And so wherever you see sin's deceitfulness growing, wherever you see man descending further down into sinful degradation, you can know that a part of that, a feature of that, in fact, an important feature of that is a lack of thankfulness. We can all think of sins that sound more salacious and more scandalous than lack of gratitude. But Paul would have us recognize here in Romans 1 that lack of gratitude is a characteristic of the worst of man's sin. For it is a purposeful withholding from God that which he is worthy of. I think about 2 Thessalonians when I think about thankfulness. I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul is wrapping up some encouragements for this church. The Thessalonian church was very dear to Paul. They were a church that responded so well and so faithfully to his ministry. And as he's wrapping up this first letter to them, he writes these things. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. I remember when I was a teenager in youth group, one of the big questions that became, you know, very popular to ask among Christians, and there was a whole rash of books around that time that came out on this subject, but how to know God's will. How to know God's will. And some of those books were helpful, some of those books were monumentally unhelpful. and had all kinds of exercises to go through so that you could pinpoint, quote, the center of God's will. Because if you missed that, I mean, life was over, right? You don't want to miss God's will. And so you'd have all these techniques to try to find God's will for you. And of course, so much of what was missed in those techniques and those programs is the very simple way that we know God's will right here in God's Word. Do you want to know what God's will is for you today? Here it is. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And give thanks in all things. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What is God's will for me? Give thanks in all things. You know, I would imagine probably every single one of you, if you had leprosy, a disease that was a death sentence, and a man came to you claiming to be the Christ, and he spoke a word of healing over you and your body was cleansed, I would imagine that every single one of us here would give thanks for that, would say thank you for that. And we should. And if God gives you an indescribably wonderful blessing, then say thank you. But what if He doesn't? What if the leprosy stays? Or what if the person really does abandon you? Or what if the person really does withhold his love from you? Or what if a calamity comes your way? Then what happens to our thankfulness? Give thanks in all circumstances. That is not to say, if you get a terrible diagnosis, to jump up and say, yippee. That's not what he's saying. But to give thanks in all circumstances. That when the scary diagnosis comes, that when the calamity befalls, that when the betrayal happens, that in the midst of that dark cloud, in the midst of that terrifying moment, you are able to say, nevertheless, I give thanks to my God. And do you know why? Do you know why you can do that? Because every single one of us, without exception, if you know Jesus, we're lepers. We have a leprosy of the soul that was a death sentence and that made us unclean. We had no access to the life of God's people. We had no access to the presence of God. We were outsiders, forbidden to come. And not only that, we would have refused to come anyway, because the leprosy was in our heart. And not only were we forbidden to come, we shook a rebellious fist in the face of the one who would one day save us. And that God cleansed us. He healed us. Not just from the outward signs of our spiritual leprosy, but He gave us hearts that were no longer infected by that ugliness. So that what was once ugly to us has now become beautiful. And what was once so charming to us has now become ugly. We are people who used to be broken and diseased by sin and now have been made clean. And so for no other reason, we can give thanks to Him for that today, can't we? And tomorrow, you'll still be clean. Tomorrow, you will still be someone who has received the cleansing touch of Jesus. And so if calamity comes tomorrow, you'll still be the Savior's. You'll still belong to Christ. You'll still be in His presence. I know these things are easy to say at times, but I also know that I have with me in this fellowship tonight brothers and sisters who are challenged to do that every day. Every day, because of certain circumstances in your life, you have to consciously think, today I'm going to be grateful. Today I'm going to be grateful. And so we're learning from you. Not to put too much pressure on you, but we're learning from you. And remember that as much as ingratitude and unthankfulness is the mark of a heart that is far from God, gratitude and thankfulness is a characteristic of the heart that is close to the Savior. And let it be for us. Let me pray for us. Father, we do thank You for Jesus Christ and for the cleansing from sin that is ours because of Him. And we pray, Father, that our lives would be characterized by a type of gratitude that is exuberant, but also sober, that gives witness to the world around us that God has been good to us, that He has provided for us what we have needed more than anything. And we pray that in this, Father, You would be glorified. Through Christ we pray. Amen.